Let's all stand together. Matthew chapter 13, like I say, just a few verses. I know we've been standing a lot. Thank you for that, Pastor, appreciation that you showed. That'll probably last me all year now, that basket full of Verners and everything else you got there.
Don't lie to yourself, Pastor. It's not
going to
make it to the end of
the week. Yeah. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 53. It says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom? And these mighty works. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James, Joses, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I'd just like to major on verse 55 this morning. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the carpenter's son? I've entitled it, Be a Carpenter. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, bless as the preaching goes forth. Lord, that your will might be done. Continue working in hearts and lives, changing them. Help us, Lord, to love one another, that we might have the right attitude toward one another, the right love toward one another. Help us to grow in Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. A carpenter. Funny. He shows his wisdom before them while he's in the synagogue, and they kind of sit there with their mouths open. Can't believe what he's saying. Because, hey, this is the kid down the street. This is that carpenter's son, Joseph, and his name's Jesus. What? Did I miss something here, they say? And because he just showed truth to them, their eyes started to be open and they realized that they weren't so wise themselves now. And it was this lowly, meek Jesus, the carpenter's son, that had all of this wisdom, and that offended them. Watch out about it being offended. Huh? The only thing that offends me is sin. I don't like to see sin in anybody. I don't like to see sin in myself, that's for sure. I'm nobody special. I'm just God's messenger because I'm just a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Saved by grace so I can know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. And that's what I want for everyone because that's God's plan. Verse 15. You just look at that for a second here in chapter 13, verse 15. It says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Tough audience. Tough people. No matter how much he preached, no matter that he taught them by parables or anything else, it was always the truth, the Son of God. He's our example. They wouldn't listen. They had two ears, but they wouldn't listen. They had two eyes, but they wouldn't see it, even though the miracle's right in front of them. Their heart was like stony heart or wax gross, it says. Boy, the ungodly stuff that goes on in our hearts. Whew. So wicked. Jeremiah tells us that in 17:9. Who can know it? And only the Lord can know that. He's the one that knows you too. Some folks come to church, put on an act, put on a front, be a hypocrite. I'm glad I don't have my eyes on you. I'm glad you don't have your eyes on me, because I'm not your example. I am not perfect, that's for sure. Jesus is our example because he is perfect. He's the one we should always have our eyes on. Get your eyes off, people. That was a stumbling block to me when I was lost, back when I was 22 years of age. Up until that, all I was interested in is getting as far away from churches and religion that I could, because I saw the hypocrisy in everybody that I looked at that went to church. What was I doing? I wasn't looking for truth. I was looking for to criticize somebody. I was looking for the weak things in people's lives. And so I was against everything. But what do you know? God did open my eyes. God opened my ears. God opened my heart. And then I turned from my wicked ways. I repented. And God saved me. And that's the only way anybody can get saved. Brother, you got to repent. You got to be willing to humble yourself and repent. Turn. Turn. Think differently. Think about the things of God. Did you notice that God used a carpenter's son? Huh? God used a carpenter. The only time you see Joseph mentioned in the Bible is there in a nativity. In that time where Herod was trying to kill all the babies, and God told Joseph to take him down to Egypt until Herod died, and then he came back. You don't hear anything more about Joseph. But he's a carpenter. And Jesus grew up in his house. These are the silent years, they call it, of Jesus' life. Until he comes to John the Baptist when he's 30 years of age, and he's baptized of John the Baptist. God will use people that are not in the limelight. God will use an old carpenter to raise a kid, right? And that kid turned out to be the Son of God. You don't know where things come from, how things work in the world, or anything else. God's Holy Spirit does God the Father's will and works in different people. Don't try to look at something to try to tear it down. Praise God that there is something. There's plenty of things wrong with our church, but praise God, we're open and we're meeting business for Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're going to go ahead and preach the gospel and help folks grow and so forth. The carpenter's son. I like carpenters. They work with wood. I got a wooden head, so he can work on me too. Amen. He works on all of us. Carpentry is hard work. Especially in Bible days with all the machines and the lathes and everything else that they use today and all of that kind of stuff going on. Brother, it was hard work. Joseph was a carpenter. Had Jesus up early in the morning. He wasn't laying around wasting his life, Joseph made sure he was going to learn carpentry. He was going to learn to work hard. Those that are raised on farms and so forth, they work. They're up early before the sun comes up. They're doing chores. And I mean everybody. There isn't any children staying in bed and watching TV or playing the computer or anything else. They're up, out there working, sweating all day long. They stayed in their bed. They didn't get fed. And so this is not like our lazy generation that we have today. The kids just watched everybody else work, but didn't pitch in and do the work. Carpenters, how important are they in the Bible? They're very important. Keep your place here. Go to 2 Kings chapter 12, please. The book of 2 Kings chapter 12. Second Kings chapter 12 and in verse 11. Make sure you're in 2 Kings and not 1 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 12 and in verse 11, I call your attention. They gave money and being told unto the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they laid it out to the carpenters and the builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord. They worked on the house of the Lord, the carpenters did. Way back there, to even build Solomon's temple. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Do you write a few books, you get to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Second Chronicles chapter 24 and in verse 12. It says, and the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. Amen. They were working on the house of the Lord. Oh, carpenters. You ever wonder why God chose Mary and Joseph? Must be something to that. I don't believe in accidents. Things just don't happen in life. There's a reason and a purpose for it. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's going on. Maybe you wonder how you have it so hard. So look back at what you sowed. Did you put God first in your life? I think it might help. Read the Bible every day. You think you might get some learning from the Bible. You come to church. You pray. But you want to blame everybody else. No, we better blame ourselves. We better find out what's important to God and start doing what God says to do within our life, or you're going to waste your life. There's a lot of things that are associated in the Bible with carpentry. Being a carpenter's son. You know, one main tool of a carpenter is a hammer. Common tool today, isn't it? It was a common tool back then, too. Their hammers didn't look anything like our hammers. But you had to have a hammer. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23, if you would. The book of Jeremiah chapter 23. When I preach, I try to give you book, chapter, and verse for everything I'm preaching to you. You might not like what I preach. You might not believe what I preach. But I'm going to prove it to you that God said it, not me. Jeremiah chapter 23 and in verse 29. It says, is not my word, like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Huh. The word of God, it's a hammer. Who uses a hammer? A carpenter. A carpenter. Make a hammer, you've got to melt that metal and everything, put it in the fire. The word of God, the King James Version, the Bible you've got in your lap today, as you come to church to study and know the truth, it's like a hammer. What's a hammer do? It breaks up hard things. Breaks up hard things. I'm a different kind of preacher, I know it. You either love me or hate me, one or the other. No middle ground. I guess you tend to love seeing you're here. Amen. What's a hammer do with the word of God? What's that word of God do to people that have a hard heart? It hammers on them and it breaks that rock into pieces. Some folks won't listen, just like in Jesus' day when he said they got eyes to see, they got ears, their hearts wax gross. They won't listen, they won't learn. That's what the Word of God does. Word of God is powerful. Do you know that?
Amen.
It's powerful, brother. I try to keep the words that come out of my mouth, especially when I'm preaching, the Word of God. I don't want you to know my opinion. I'll give it, but you don't have to take it. But I try to give you the Word of God because that's truth. That's truth. The Word itself. What else does a hammer do? It fastens. Fastens the nails. In other words, it goes ahead and it fastens things together. You know what the Word of God do for you? It'll fasten your family. It'll fasten your life. It'll get you straightened out. You got something flapping in the wind and so forth, take a nail and take a hammer and you put that thing down so it doesn't blow away in the storms that you're going through in your own life. Word of God, it's like a hammer. I'm not the one doing the hammering, my friends. The Word of God is doing the hammering. People that will not have any wisdom at all, it offends them. So they go around and criticize everything. What else does a hammer do? A hammer has a claw on it. It separates. It separates. It's underneath that wood and that nail. You go ahead and use leverage. You pull that thing up. That's what a hammer does. Jesus said that he came to separate. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. That's what he teaches. Matthew 25:26. Important, you know that the Word of God straightens out things, my friend. Now it says the Word of God. What is that? Who is that? Go to John, would you please? Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're a Bible-believing church here. Don't care much about the old watered-down preaching that you hear in liberal churches today. We're interested in the Word of God and keep it as true and try to do the best we can with it in our lives. John chapter 1, and it says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Who? The Word. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He's talking about the one that was made flesh in verse 14. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, he's the hammer. Jesus is the hammer. He's the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
And he's got wisdom enough to hammer in the right places at the right time and come into your heart and change your life so you don't go to a devil's hell forever. And you can have the wonderful free gift of eternal life. And when you pass from this life, you go to heaven. It's all free. Jesus died for you because he loved you. Talk about tough love. Jesus was it. Well, I'll guarantee you that. He's the hammer. But there's another thing that a carpenter uses, and it's called a plumb line. A plumb line. Get over in your Bible, if you would, please. Turn to the book of Amos. The book of Amos. Right after the book of Joel. You should have memorized the books of the Bible by now. Know where you're going in the Bible, so you can get some good stuff into your life. Amos chapter 7. Book of Amos chapter 7. And sure enough, verse 7. It says in verse 7, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand." Some of you may be not familiar with a plumb line, but a plumb line can be a line with a weight on the bottom of it. It's been different in different countries and down through the ages, but it always is held up, and it shows how straight things are. Because gravity will take that weight and it'll show you a straight line. You don't want a crooked life, do you? You want a straight life. Guess who's holding the plumb line? The Bible says the Lord is holding that plumb line. That's something is important in a carpenter's life, because if he's going to build something, you can't build it crooked, my friend. I think our politicians need a plumb line. What do you think? Amen. Got enough crooks in there. They're just getting worse and worse and worse. A plumb line. Somebody asked me one time. He says, "Are you crooked?" Said, "No." "Are you gay?" I said, "No, I'm straight." You got a choice. You're either straight or you're crooked. Isn't that what the gays say? That we're straight? Yeah. Because I belong to Jesus Christ. Nothing in my life I don't want it to be crooked. Try to be holy like the Lord is holy. Work on it every day. Am I perfect? Nope. You aren't going to be either, but work on it. You get more of the truth down into your heart and into your life, start acting like a Christian, doing what God says, you're going to have a happy life. You're going to have a life where you can go through hard times. Because with a plumb line and a hammer, when he builds something, that wall is going to be straight, brother. Amen. You try to build something and it's like this, you got trouble. That thing's coming over. Wonder why your life has gone. Oh, yeah. So we want to go with the plumb line. That's the carpenter. What? The carpenter's son is talking about that. The Bible, because he's the word of God. He's the hammer. He's the plumb line in life. You build something straight, you build a life. Build it straight. Build it straight. Don't put up with the compromise out here in the world. All of the lies and the filthiness and all the sexual things and everything going on out here. Phew. Third thing, and I hurry because of your love gifts that you gave us.
Take time.
Well, amen. He says we can get out at 3 o'clock. What do you think? Let's all stone them, amen. Number three. Did you know that God compares preachers to carpenters? Huh. Go to Ecclesiastes, if you would, please. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Right after Proverbs comes Ecclesiastes. The meaning of the word Ecclesiastes is preacher. Maybe that has in your Bible, it has it right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 11, I call your attention. It says, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Said in verse 10, the preacher sought out to find the acceptable words. The preacher speaks words. But he says he's a carpenter. He's taking the nail. Listen, you can't hold anything on a wall without a nail. You got to have a sure nail. You got to have a sure hammer that went ahead and put that nail in there. You need a carpenter with a hammer to hammer that thing in. He says the preacher's words. The preacher's words. You know what I try to do? I try to use the Word of God, that hammer, that plumb line, to build your life. I know the only kind of life that's going to be worthwhile for you living on planet Earth until it's over is going to be the life that follows that carpenter son. To follow Jesus. To follow the Bible. And he says that's what the preacher is supposed to do. Use the Word of God to build people. And that's what I want to do, and build families together. Marriages together. Courage in Christians. Says preacher is supposed to do that like a carpenter uses nails. Amen. Back in the day they used to say, now that's something to hang your hat on. Amen. Some of you old timers, you know that. Amen. You can trust that. You can trust the Word of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 10. Paul says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Paul says he's the master builder, but he says my foundation is that carpenter's son. My foundation is Jesus. Bible talks about building your house upon a rock or building your house on shifting sand. Because when the storms come, brother, if you were dumb enough to build your life on shifting sand, you're going down. But the wise person says, that's not going to do. I want my house on a rock. And Jesus is the rock all the way through the Bible. By the way, Peter is not the rock. You don't understand Matthew 16 at all. But you got a whole religion built on that. Taking out of context everything else. You're not to follow a man. You're to follow Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of everything. When you're looking for a house to buy or anything like that, you take carpenter along with you, get some advice from him. Because when you go ahead and look for that house, you want to check it out first before you would ever bid, think of buying that thing. And guess what? You don't look at the siding. You don't look at the shutters. You don't look at the windows. You forget all of that and you look at the foundation. You walk all the way around that thing and you look for cracks. You look for anything that would, you know, take a plumb line if we want to, put it up next to that wall. Is that thing straight? Or is that house going to fall down in a few years? The carpenter, the wisdom of the words, they were offended at it. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Yeah, he's the wisest one in the building. He's the son of God, but they wouldn't listen. Paul says, I'm a master builder and I made sure that my foundation was Jesus Christ. Because guess what? That carpenter's son, he turned out to be the cornerstone. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians 2:20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. What did they do? They preached Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. If you don't have Jesus as your foundation and the cornerstone to advertise what date that building was made, the surety of who made it and so forth, that's a cornerstone. Not ashamed of what you built. Jesus Christ gave the foundation, and not only did he die on that cross, some say he was a failure because he died on there, see? But three days later, he proved that he was true, that he was God, that he did the miracles that he did to prove he was God. And then he loved you enough to go to that cross, brother. He's the cornerstone. If you don't have Jesus as your foundation, you're going to get it worse, and you're going to get it worse, and you're going to get it worse. I'm offended at that. Yeah, so were they. Matthew 7:24 talks about that, building your house upon a rock, brother. You know what Jesus does? He frames everything together as a carpenter. Gets that building and he frames it together. He makes those walls and those studs and those everything about it. And it's all strong and it's all aligned. Because when the storm comes, you'll be glad you got a firm foundation. How many floods have you seen out here? People dumb enough to build their house right next to water. And then it comes and floods them out and everything else. And why'd you do it in the first place? What are you thinking? Get a firm foundation, brother. You follow the world. You follow what God says. How's your life? You got a firm foundation? Being the cornerstone, he's building that building. He's building your life. And he used frames to do it. All of the studs and everything he puts together. Good parents will frame up their kids' lives by making sure that they're straight. There's a pattern to follow. Every carpenter follows a blueprint. They don't have the word blueprint in the Bible, but it sure does use the word pattern. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, please. Book of Hebrews chapter 9. Will you take time to listen to truth? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Hebrews 9, 23 says, "It was therefore necessary that the patterns, the blueprints, of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are just figures of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Amen. I'm glad Jesus is sticking up for me no matter how many times I mess up. Because I'm not perfect. We're following a blueprint, brother. The pattern is up in heaven. It's perfect up there. He wants it down here. So he gives all of the instructions to us right in this book. That's a blueprint, brother. We get caught up in the world, don't we? We get caught up with relatives and ungodly friends and acquaintances and customs and traditions and everything else going on. And our old flesh, it craves those things. The flesh always craves pleasure. C.S. Lewis said, "If I find myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." Amen. That's what we were made for. We're not made for this world down here. We're made for that world up there. You're only going to be down here for a while. Just a few years. Just this young lady over here, she's only 98. Amen. 98's nothing compared to eternity, sister. Amen. But you're living all your life for what's down here. It's all going to burn, brother. All of it. Read 1 Peter. The carpenter's son, yeah. Look at Hebrews 8, you're right there. Won't take you a half hour to find the place. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 4. "For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things." He's talking about a pattern. "As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, 'For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.'" What happened up on that Mount Sinai? 40 days, 40 nights. Not only did he get the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, but he also got all of the pattern, all of the blueprint of how the tabernacle was to be made. What materials to use, how big it was, everything else. There's always a pattern. There's always a blueprint. But maybe you're in trouble this morning because you didn't follow the blueprint. Get the right foundation and follow the pattern that was already given to you. Mr. Drake gets upset with me sometimes when I get something. Or even when we had kids and we had Christmas and so forth, I had a toy and it had to be put together. The first thing I'd do is take the box, throw it over here. Take the instructions, throw it over here. I can put this thing together and nothing flat. So I got my tools out. I said, "Well, it looks like this goes in here and that goes in there and everything." And it's finished. Only I got 7 pieces left over. So now I gotta take it all apart. I gotta find out where those pieces went. You know what they do now? This, when they get a present like that or something, you know, or I do, you're not going to see it today. I want that box to look at, and I want those instructions, and I'm going to read, and then I'm going to reread, and then I'm going to re-re-read. Amen? Here's the instructions, brother. You need to read it. You need to reread it. You need all through your life to read it. It's the only way something's going to be put together good in your life. Wonderful why our kids and our families are all messed up, lost, like the world, like demonic creatures. Wouldn't recognize them as your children. You didn't follow instructions. Number five, why was Jesus born into a carpenter's family? Because he had a lot of things to build. He's the foundation. He's the cornerstone. He's the carpenter. Because he's got a lot to do building in your life. He's got a lot, and he's doing it too. Every day. Every Sunday you come to hear preaching and worship. Get your eyes on the Bible and off of everything else in this old world. Everything else going to perish. But your soul will last forever. None of that other is any of your business. Your business is your soul and your life. I don't care what Joe Blow over here is doing. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Oh, it's okay. Look at, they say they're Christians and they're doing it. Has nothing to do with you. Has you and Jesus. He's the carpenter. He's got a lot of building to do. John 1:1 already told you that he's the Word. And Jesus is the one that built you. It says that Jesus built everything. Is that what it said in John 1:1? There wasn't anything made that wasn't that is. That was, Jesus built heaven. Didn't he say that in John 14:1? I go to prepare a place for you. Who? The carpenter's son. He knows all about building, brother. He knows all about foundations. He knows all about hammers. He knows all about the plumb line. He knows everything. And he's making and preparing your place for you.
Hallelujah.
I got a mansion up there. Mm-hmm. I got a mansion up there. And there's a cornerstone on my mansion. Mm-hmm. And it says, built by Jesus Christ. For Ray Drake in 1968. Amen. I only got a mention up there because I send up material every once in a while. Amen. We give in our offering plates, we send up some material. Jesus said, don't set your treasures down here on earth, but in heaven. It all fits together. One verse, you're in Hebrews, go to chapter 11. And we'll quit. Almost. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. Talking about Abraham. And it says in verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Did that just back up the words I preached to you? God built that thing. God built heaven. Make sure you're truly saved. You got a mansion up there. One last verse over in Mark. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and in verse 10. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Jesus is the rock, and they reject him. People reject Jesus Christ. But guess what? He's the head of the corner. He's the head of everything. Jesus is Lord of all, whether you make him your Lord or not. That's the way it works in life. Important that we see the importance of him being a carpenter's son. A lot of people were offended at that. I'm not. I'm so glad he was a carpenter's son. I'm so glad that Joseph, even though he's not mentioned all the way through Jesus' life, raised him to work hard, learn carpentry, and God used him to build your life. If you'll allow him, he won't force his way into your life. You have to actually open your heart and receive him. Have you received Jesus, really? Or did you just pray an insincere prayer one time? Have you repented of your sin? Have you put your full trust in Christ alone? Has Jesus changed your heart, your mind, your attitude, and your spirit? He's a wise master builder. Thank God for the carpenter. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to learn and appreciate everything you have within the Word of God. It's there for a purpose. Help us to come to the carpenter. Help us to come to Jesus. He can build and rebuild. Thank you for the grace that you've given us to accept that and now reject it. Bless each one that will in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your...